There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America, love. Do it, baby.
Welcome in to Character Concerns as we sit 1 week before the draft. Jay Binkley, Chris Nocero, Nick, we'll do, we've been talking big plans for what we're
going to
do.
I know what you're doing, Julio.
Character Concerns.
I know what you're doing, Julio.
It's just a good song. I don't know what you're talking about.
You didn't see that email from Speck.
I didn't.
We're not supposed to be bringing this stuff up on the air.
I don't know what you're talking about. I just play good music.
You know what I'm talking about,
every
Julio.
Week. Every week
it's a great song. Rick James, God rest his soul, very legendary singer.
That's right.
But I know what you're doing, Julio. I see you.
Sure. But anyways, I thought this was a...
You think you slick?
I don't know, you're not slick, Julio.
No.
Thought we were talking draft, you know.
Well, this is a draft show, and we're talking draft for the next 3 hours.
Right.
You heard us last week. Well, this week... coming up Thursday is going to be fun. Chris,
yes.
I, Nick Short.
All next week is going to be fun.
Crew. Yeah, there's stuff every night. Tuesdays, Nick Schwartz emceeing with Mitch Schwartz is down there. Nate Taylor's down there at the Landing in Liberty, 6:30. They'll be down there. There'll be a lot of fun. Wednesday, that watch party down there at Jefferson's. Thursday is all hands on deck. Because me, you, and Nick will be here for the draft coverage Thursday,
first round.
Rec Deck, Boulevard Rec Deck will be recording Gold Is that night. Dirty Werewolf, Dusty Likens will be on the red carpet. Carrington and Rob will be on the social media channels. And then Bob and Josh will be downtown as well.
Yeah, so, we're jam-packed. All hands on deck. Everyone's going to be helping pitch in to make this a great first-round coverage. And then, Friday night, me, you, Nick, going to be down there at Cinderblock Brewery, and we're going to be covering rounds 2 through 3 after the Royals coverage is done. And, we have a special beer.
Wait till you see the special beer for you guys. It's a draft beer.
What is it in? What is the word?
A firkin.
Okay. I had to be careful. I didn't want to say it wrong and had to dump it.
Guys, make me nervous every time. Every time.
The first time he said it, I was like, I got to dump that? Like, I was a little worried when he said it the first time.
A full 3 hours, we did a mock Chiefs draft once again this week. We haven't done craziness with it as far as 4, 5, 6, 0, 7, 0, 8, 0, 9, 0, you name it. We've done 3 so far, and plus we've done 1 full NFL mock draft. Just stay consistent, kind of what we're doing. Just throwing darts is kind of not what we want to do. It's stay consistent with the picks that we think fit with the Chiefs. We'll get into that mock draft more and more on why we took certain positions. We don't necessarily have to get so deep into which player we took. We can and try to make that point. But as far as the position group we took, we'll get into that. Matt McGowan, a reporter from the Kansas City Chiefs. See him all the time. He does stuff with Mitch Holtus.
Yes.
Each and every week. He's great. He's outstanding. What he does, he's coming in here, and he'll be here for an hour. Looking forward to Matt McGowan at 6:30. Because we usually have that special guest. We've chatted.
Yeah, we're getting a big time celebrity here.
Or this, yeah, like last
big time name.
Yeah,
we got Thor Nystrom last year. I mean, the last week who had all the shade for Jalen Hyatt, and we're gonna get our Chiefs guy to come.
Well, this week one of the big questions is Chiefs bring in a top 30 visit, and a top 30 visit is they get 30 visits. So 30 different players they can have come to Kansas City. They work them out. They get to know them. They talk to them a little bit. And it's a smokescreen in the NFL. Oh, look, Quentin Johnson's came to visit the Chiefs. They must be interested. The latest, which he has been here, by the way, the wide receiver from TCU, Quentin Johnson. Also, he worked out with Patrick Mahomes, who's down at TCU with Camp Pat. And he worked out with him. The Chiefs are doing something really unusual, and it's really cool what they're doing. But Zay Flowers, arguably the first or second best receiver in this year's draft. Top 30 visits, go down and visit Camp Pat. Go down where Travis Kelce is, Mahomes, Kadarius Toney's down there, Sky Moore's down there. They're all, the whole group is down there catching passes at TCU from Patrick Mahomes. Well, Zay Flowers went to Camp Pat. And this is a brilliant move by the Zay Flowers agent. It's a brilliant move for Zay Flowers to do this, catch passes from Pat Mahomes. Because what happens if Patrick really, really, really likes you and he gnaws, you know, on the feet there of Brett Veach saying, hey, got to do what we can for Zay Flowers. But they're going to have to trade up big time to get a guy like Zay Flowers sitting where they are at 31. But this is a brilliant move. It's also a brilliant smokescreen the Chiefs are doing. And they also learn a lot about Zay Flowers as well.
Yeah, I you listen to Brett Veach earlier. We'll have some clips from him later on in the show. But he kind of tried to distance himself from this and the team from this, saying, oh, this was his agent talking to Pat's people, and they, you know, they set this whole thing up. I don't know if I buy that. The Chiefs have been very involved in the whole Camp Pat process, and I do believe that they very quietly from behind the scenes were like, you know, okay, you know, see if we can, you know, see if you can get this and that and look at this. And Pat's probably given them the evaluation on what he saw from those two guys. I very much believe that the Chiefs, they were very interested in hearing about this whole process. They obviously understand the whole rules with the top 30 visit thing, but these guys went outside of that whole situation there. So it makes it easier for them to kind of get around those rules. But I think the Chiefs are trying their best to smokescreen what they're doing. They don't want, like, everyone expects them to take a receiver or an edge rusher. And I think they're trying their damnedest to throw people off the scent of that. Because then, you know, we've seen what happens when teams trade ahead of them to go get them, to go get a player that we assume or we thought the Chiefs were interested in. You know, Johnny Manziel, Paxton Lynch. So I expect the Chiefs to be wary of that and understand that they've got to throw people off that scent. And that's why they're trying to push themselves away from that. But it is a major story, and I think it could give away what they're going to do at 31 if they don't trade up.
It is interesting what they're doing. It's not, I mean, listen, quarterbacks do work out with receivers they bring in to different places. But to have it at a special place like down at TCU with Camp Pat, the second year for Camp Pat. It's a little bit earlier than it was last year, because last year was a situation where it was during OTAs, the first week of OTAs, they let them have Camp Pat down there. Sky Moore, once they drafted him, then went down there. But this is all before the draft, where these draft picks are coming in and working out with your quarterback. I mean, this is well played. This is brilliant stuff by the Chiefs. It also shows you where Patrick Mahomes is. As far as, I mean, obviously they trust him. We all know that trust keeps building and building every year. But to have your quarterback being really the eyes and ears of the organization.
Right, and the interesting part about it is, like, you wonder if it's
earlier. Because if he don't like him, they ain't going to like him.
Exactly. And so, like, and Patrick does have some input on these guys. I don't think the Chiefs are going to draft a receiver or a running back or anybody without his approval. They're not going to go out there and be like, yeah, we want this guy. You got to figure things out. Like, we know that Patrick was approached about, like, MVS. They asked him, and he gave his, you know, hey, I like this dude, bring him in. I guarantee you that he has a say on any player that they sign, any player that they draft. He has a say in it. And I think if he really likes Zay Flowers, if he really likes Quentin Johnston, I'm pretty sure that the Chiefs are going to find a way to go out there and get that guy if Patrick does his best to make sure that he lets them know that this is a guy they should prioritize.
I mean, it's a brilliant way to evaluate talent, see who they are, see who they are as a person, see if they get along with everybody. Let me get Travis Kelce down there and Patrick Mahomes. Got a couple Hall of Famers down there. Just kind of learning the life of the NFL. But it also is brilliant once the draft happens and they work out with Patrick Mahomes, because they build the chemistry. Like, and I think other teams start to do this a little bit. They, you know, Josh Allen will take the receivers and they'll go work out or whatever. But this Camp Pat is much different. But anyway, Zay Flowers down with Patrick Mahomes. Also, Bart Jones. Arguably the top, he's my favorite tackle, but when you look at mock drafts, he's number two, number three.
Three, four, something like that.
I think he's the best of the bunch. He's the tackle from Georgia. He had a top 30 visit with the Chiefs as well. So there you go. Best offensive lineman or top two or three offensive lineman, top one or two receiver meeting with the Kansas City Chiefs, who sit 31 and have a GM says that I don't know how far willing to trade up, which will bring you Brett Veach's cuts because he did talk today and he has gleaned a little bit of information the last couple of years when he's spoken.
Yeah, I don't know how much I'm buying into the Broderick Jones meeting. The Chiefs are very much a team that likes to smoke screen. They like to throw people off. Today, Brett Veach was talking about...
Yeah, because the chances are when they draft somebody, the question is going to be, did you talk to the Chiefs?
They're I didn't speak to them at all. Like, I just don't know if I'm buying this one. Like, even they did talk to Quentin Johnston, too, and certainly he's down there at Camp Pat, so there is a possibility that they could really be interested in him.
But I just kind of too wanted much to, into that because he's a TCU receiver and they're at exactly, the TCU facility.
Yeah. But I mean, again, they did bring him in.
He was
so
brought in.
There is a possibility there could be some interest and they're kind of getting a second opinion on him, seeing how he runs routes with Pat. And so certainly there could be something there. But the Chiefs kind of told us today that probably isn't really where they're going to go. So if they're.
Which I'm not buying.
Yeah. I actually kind of think that they are. Well, actually, no, I'm not talking about receiver. I'm talking about linemen. I'm talking about the O-line. I don't really buy the idea of them using a high pick on a potential right tackle. To me, that just seems like something that the Chiefs, they made the big splash already at the left tackle spot, and they've kind of gone Band-Aid route with the right tackle spot. So I kind of lean into thinking that they're probably not going to go out and use too many valuable picks on the tackle. So this to me just seems like it's let's see if we can get ideas into other people's heads that maybe we're not going to go take a receiver.
Chiefs General Manager Brett Veach did have his press conference addressing the draft. We'll get to that here in just a second. But he did have his thoughts on Camp Pat that we're talking about.
I think it has more to do with the power of Pat Mahomes. I mean, it's funny because these guys are working out all over the country, and I think it's no secret Pat's down there on a college campus, and he's working out with pro players from other teams. He's working out with college players. I think some high school players are there. So these good players and the agents, they know where the good players are, and they connect, and you know, they have a workout. But, I don't think it was a secret. It wasn't like it was a private indoor facility that was closed off to the public. I mean, there was a documentary on Patrick going on right now, so there's a lot of cameras there. But, no, it was just a really good job by the agent and the player to just get in contact with those guys and get in the throwing lines. And I think it was really smart by the kid and the agent. So, but Pat has a lot of fun with that. I think it's really cool that he's welcoming to all these guys, whether it be other players from other pro teams, college guys, or even high school guys. It's pretty cool that those guys get to say that they threw Pat Mahomes.
He's getting to that status now. When they draft guys, they know exactly when they're taken. They think Patrick Mahomes. They just do. I mean, he's got that stardom now with these guys. Saw him in high school, now college. Because when you look at it, it's now, you know, back when they were in high school, a lot of these players. And he is the number one thing in the NFL. And the fact that, you know, you bring him in the camp path, this goes a long way because these guys talk. They talk to each other. And other receivers say that. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You're down there catching passes from Mahomes? What's going on there? What are you doing, Zay? What are you doing? The Chiefs going to move up? And then other teams are wondering. Then all of a sudden they start calling the Chiefs. Hey, what would you come up to pick 9? Would you come up to pick 10? Which direction are you going? And they shouldn't do that because what they should do is concentrate on who the Chiefs are going to take and want to take them because the Chiefs have been smarter than everybody else in the draft. That's why they 21 of 22, their last 22 picks are still on the roster and or practice squad.
Yeah, they've been and I think this is also good from a free agency standpoint. Because you could have some good veteran receivers that, like, we've seen, like, Justin, John Ross. He's down there as well, and he has been working out with them. And
not to be confused with Justin Ross.
Not Justin Ross. We're talking about the guy who got taken the pick before Patrick Mahomes did in 2017.
Fastest guy ever.
Yeah. and that's a guy that's been down there catching passes from Mahomes as well. There certainly is the possibility that someone like him could find a roster spot, if not in Kansas City, somewhere else. And this is a way for them to jumpstart their careers there. But if you've got these receivers who are on the free agency market, who don't really have a big market out there, and you catch passes from Mahomes, maybe Mahomes puts in a good word for that receiver for the Chiefs, and the Chiefs bring him in. It's a great way for you to scout potential talent for the team.
Or if you have a lot of questions, you say, you know what, let's bring in
right.
Pat.
Exactly. Exactly. So, like, there's a lot of good that can come out of this whole situation.
Bring Jalen Hyatt.
Right. I'd love for them to bring in.
He's a smokescreen, man. That's the guy they want.
And if they end up taking him at 31 or they end up moving up and taking him, then I think we kind of know that maybe that's one of the reasons sure. why.
And a lot of different mock drafts have been coming out today. Five quarterbacks sometimes in some of these mocks being drafted, which is good because that puts the Chiefs, you know, drafting basically 26th. And then all of a sudden you take Jahmyr Gibbs, which I don't think he's going in the first round
no.
at all. Bijan Robinson will. And then a Gonzalez, you know, goes a corner. And all of a sudden you're looking at the Chiefs are picking like 21 or 22. And then they have to worry about 21 picks in front of the positions they need. Brett Veach did comment on several things, and keep in mind, the last 2 years he's gleaned something to pay attention to. Will he do it again this year? We'll check it out next.
You're listening to a 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with Nick, Bank, and Chris. Check out the Character Concerns podcast leading up to the NFL Draft at Union Station. Available at 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Character Concerns. Jay Binkley with Chris Nocero. Nick Schwartz, part of our crew as well, but he'll be back on Tuesday. And Julio Sanchez producing the operation. And Matt McMullen, a Chiefs reporter, works for the Kansas City Chiefs, coming in here with us. Your questions welcome as always. 913-586-7610, Jay Southland Tow Service text line. 913-586-7610
for that. This is way more appropriate. Julio.
I feel like it's less appropriate.
This is very appropriate.
I'll go with it.
Well, Brett Veach, the last couple of years, when you listen to the pre-draft press conference, because a lot of these are mostly smoke screens around the league.
Oh,
guys
yeah.
are interested in whatever. Most times you hear that, but Veach has always thrown a nugget in there that's 100% right on how he feels each and every year. This is what he said 2 years ago about that second and third round.
Mid two to early three area is going to be a hot zone. I think that's really where there's a big fall off.
The hot zone. So what did he do? He traded for Orlando Brown. They sent pick 58 with him. Pick 58 turns into Nick Bolton, the second leading tackler in the NFL. Score that one up for Brett Veach, giving us exactly what he was going to do.
Yeah, they give away. I mean, there's always something. There's always something. I know you about to fire up that other one here, but they always give up something that you can take away, and you're like, okay, I think we know what we're doing.
We'll fire that other one up. Last year, though, Chris, it was this.
The running back class this year, it's really crazy because when you factor in that COVID year last year and some of the guys that stayed in school, I've never seen such a large group of, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh round running backs. And it's like the names go from the top of the ceiling down to the bottom. So there'll certainly be I told the guys, my prediction is there'll be a 1,000-yard rusher that is an undrafted free agent or seventh round pick just by the sheer volume of numbers.
So Brett Veach basically said, I don't like running backs early. I like him in the seventh round or undrafted. And what happens? Isaiah Pacheco. Score another one for Brett Veach the last 2 years.
It's amazing how he kind of, you know, leaves a little hint of what he's going to do in the draft. Yeah, he still finds a way to just slam dunk it every time.
What will be the nugget for Brett Veach this year? Who knows? He did say this today. Talking about trading back, will the Chiefs be interested in trading back this year?
I don't think it would be hard at all. I know there was a lot of joking last year about Clark saying you can't trade a pick, and you know, listen, maybe there was some truth to it, but I think that applied more to you know, in the off season or like last summer. You know, I mean, we're here now, so I think a trade down is part of the draft, and it gives people more of a reason.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Going to come back on Friday and see us do even more work, but that's, I think we're at the party now, so it's all up in the air, and I think anything's a possibility.
So that's the big question there: would the Chiefs dare trade back? Well, here's the deal, people. If everybody's down there at the draft anyway, you're there to have a good time. You're there just to enjoy things. Whether you don't know, maybe the Chiefs trade up, maybe they trade back. You're not sure what they're going to do, or maybe they sit there and make their pick at 31. Regardless, you're still going to have fun. But again, it's not the Chiefs' job for you to get a pick that night, because you know what? Friday night might turn into a real party. Second, third round. Chiefs might get in that hot zone once again by trading back.
If their board doesn't line up with what's happened, then they should not use that first round pick. They should trade back if they, because we talked about this in the last hour with CDOT on the drive. And we said, there's a good chance, like, let's say they want to go edge rusher first round. There's some depth there where they could potentially trade back into the early second and still get the guy they want.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of guys out there that are going to be really talented in this class. And let's say like Will McDonald's sitting there, and neither of us think that Will McDonald's going to be the guy that they take if they go edge. He just doesn't fit what they like. And let's say he's sitting there and they're like, we don't really like this guy, but a team really does like Will McDonald. They want to take him at 31. Well, then the Chiefs absolutely should maneuver out of that pick, get some more value back, and then go get the guy that they really like. Let's say it's like FAU from K-State. They could go and they could maneuver around and they could get more value there. I don't think they should just take a pick at 31 just because it's here in Kansas City.
Well, teams know where these guys played high school ball. They know where they played, you know, in college. They know the Kansas City Chiefs are all over certain players. It's part of the big smokescreen. And last but not least, as far as Brett Veach, he doesn't see trading up too high in this draft. Again, take these things for a grain of salt or a smoke screen. But again, last 2 years, as I said, second, third round hot zone 2 years ago, he was 100% right. Last year is we'll get a running back in the seventh round or undrafted, and that's exactly what he did. What will it be this year?
We'll have a list of guys that, you know, we'll feel like we want to be aggressive on. And if it works out number-wise, I think we'll sit there in 31 and we'll have a few guys. And if they're there and we think it's in range, reasonable, where we're not giving up a ton, I don't see us trading up too high in the draft or anything like that. But, I mean, if there's a guy that we really like and you know, we're in that range, and, you know, we'll sit here in the next few days here and determine, you know, what range we feel is comfortable for us. We'll sit there and potentially make that move, and we'll be content with staying there. I'm sure there'll be a good player there at 31, and then certainly be open to trading back if all those, you know, guys that we had in mind are gone. So I think we'll kind of see how it goes, and these things change so quickly and so fluidly. But I don't think we'd be opposed to being aggressive if we felt the player warranted.
I will say this: my guy Tyler Allgeier went over 1,000 yards last year. But this is why Brett Veach is the best general manager in football.
You did love Allgeier.
I did like some Tyler Allgeier. He did go for over 1,000 yards with his fifth round pick. This is why he's the best general manager in football. His staff. I mean, this tweet came from him. He was there in the front office with Chris Ballard and John Dorsey. He learned Andy Reid. He was with him in Philadelphia. He's the best scout with the organization of Philadelphia and Kansas City, because he did the SEC, which they put their best scouts on. And he's got Brad Tellus working the contracts. I mean, it's unbelievable. Chris Shea, it's unbelievable what he does, but he takes the advice of Andy Reid. You know, you got Patrick Mahomes now working out with different players. I mean, you got all these years, and you know he's listening to them all, because he always wanted to be heard. Like if he found a player, he wanted, the Andy Reid's of the world, the John Dorsey's to listen. Hey, I like this player. I like Kareem Hunt. Use that as an example because we talked to Veach a couple years ago, and he was one of the guys he was watching, on Maction. I went to say, hey, check this guy out. Check this guy out.
He was staying up late with you and watching the Maction games.
There's value in the Maction.
I always say this, like you can tell just how good of a franchise is at drafting by how deep they go as far as scouting goes. When you're finding guys at the smaller schools that not a lot of people have heard of or have seen, like a Jalen Watson, even though it's a Power 5 school, but nobody's talking about Jalen Watson coming out of Washington State. And yet he ends up being probably the best corner they took in the draft last year.
And that's why the top 30 visit was important.
Right.
Because I don't know if they were enamored by him as much as the combine last year is bringing him
exactly.
In.
Exactly. And so like that's...
So, which he can have a bad day. Everybody's got a bad day.
But that's like one of those deep cut moves you make in the draft and it works out for you because you did your scouting and you were really patient and you were like, okay, let me do that extra homework on that guy that not a lot of people are talking about.
That's why I pay more attention to the fifth, sixth, seventh rounders and drafted guys that they may bring in for top 30 visits because...
Those are a little bit more meaningful.
They want a different look at him, hey? Right. Let's get a different
look
at him.
Like, them bringing in Broderick Jones, like...
Yeah, let's get a different look at this player.
Yeah, probably just a fill-in a visit. But, yeah, when you start getting the guys for a third day, that's more interesting to me. But
this is why he succeeds. And I remember talking to him. We'd interview with him when he first took over as GM. Because my biggest question to him was, this over at the during the draft. It was right at the first round of the draft. Because he was always that eager guy, and Andy Reid always talked about it. Let's say, Brett really liked this guy. Brett saw this guy. Because a lot of times when Brett Veach first took over, he, was on the ground as a scout watching these guys. So he wanted them to hear what he thought. And I said, hey, will you be the general manager type to, kind of listen to the guys that were like you, Brett? They were eager and really liked a certain player because you saw him with your own eyes. And that's who he is. He listens to everybody, which is – what you've got to do in that position because other people have great opinions. Coming up next, Matt McMullen of the Kansas City Chiefs is in the house to talk draft with the Character Concerns crew. Next.
You're listening to a 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with Nick, Bank, and Chris. Check out the Character Concerns podcast leading up to the NFL Draft at Union Station. Available at 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I thought we were going to go some Grim Reaper. Because I'll never forget, I put that montage together with the voice of Mitch calling that 13th Danon and the 13 seconds that Buffalo still thinks about. They still think about the 13 seconds because Andy Reid, when it's Grim, be the Grim Reaper.
Should have let me know.
That was going to be, that was 65 toss power trap.
You have to communicate that to Julio. You can't just expect him to read your mind.
We had people dressed like the Reaper at the Bengals game last year.
Yeah, and then what happened?
Well, I'm just saying.
Kind of lost its luster, right?
If they beat the Bengals, the Reaper would be really popular. Get Reaper tattoos and everything.
I have a T-shirt. I have a couple.
You do
have a Reaper. You bought a Reaper T-shirt?
I fell into that trap.
Oh, you fell.
And I'm not sorry.
Next week, you're right. You're just like, man, I wish I hadn't bought that shirt.
I'm going to wear it next week just for both of you.
It's Grim, be the Grim Reaper. I'm Jay Binkley with Chris Ocero. Matt McMullen, senior team reporter. What title do you prefer, man?
You can call me whatever you want.
We're well, that's not fair.
You got to give us a title. We got to put proper respect on your name. Well,
so I guess I'm technically the senior team reporter.
Well,
I was not promoted from the junior team reporter, but I am the Chiefs team reporter. I do podcasts, write for the website, just do whatever you want.
Were the senior team reporter? You just took the name?
Well, they told me I was a senior team reporter, but I wasn't originally the junior team reporter in the elevator.
Yeah. I will ask you this, Mr. Senior Team Reporter.
Yes.
We saw your interview earlier with Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
That joined you
guys. We got some questions.
Okay. That joined you guys, you and Mitch.
Uh-huh.
Were you wearing shoulder pads?
What's up on the shoulder pads, man?
Okay, so Mitch wanted us to wear 22 jerseys. So typically, the community department has jerseys that the players wear at like hospitals and schools and everything. Those are like the jerseys you would buy in the pro shop, but they didn't have 22 jerseys ready for us. So we wore, that was Juan Thornhill's actual jersey.
Oh, so is that Juan's jersey?
It was like game worn jersey?
Yes. And not easy to slip on.
Those are tight. Those are real tight.
It was brutal. If I had a sandwich beforehand, I would not have been in that jersey.
No.
Yeah. But those were Juan Thornhill's home and road jerseys.
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, it was cool. That was
awesome. Was it at least washed for you?
Yes, okay. It was washed. Okay. Yeah, no nameplate. It's ready to go for, I guess, Trent McDuffie is 22.
Oh, yeah, he is 22.
It's amazing those things even go over shoulder pads. These uniforms.
Yeah, they're so tight now.
I was thinking about that.
They used to not be that way, though. Remember Earl Campbell?
They were all, yeah, they were all baggy. The sleeves were hanging off. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the guys like them tight now because they're fast, right? McCole Hardman had the tightest jersey I've ever seen. But yeah, that 22 jersey was tough.
Yeah, McCole's jersey, like, it was painted on. That's how tight it was.
Caitlin was awesome, though. She was super cool. It's cool to see someone that became such a star and is still so grounded. And she's a huge Chiefs fan. Absolutely loves the Chiefs. Her whole family.
She's been here,
huge
too,
Chiefs
right?
fan. Yeah, yeah, she was here for the Seattle game. So picked the coldest game of the year, but got sideline passes, got to meet Chris Jones. And then I actually asked her on the podcast what it was like having Patrick Mahomes tweet at her after her game winner against Indiana or whoever it was. But yeah, pretty cool. She was awesome and huge Chiefs fan. Going to try to get her on the drum next year.
Life's pretty good right now for Camp Pat. I've said last year, I said, this Patrick Mahomes, when he had him down there for, because he had it a little bit later last year, because it was during OTAs, the first round of OTAs, because the draft had already taken place and Sky Moore was there and everything else. It's so brilliant what they're doing. You know other teams are going to do it, and some of them do it in some capacity, but not like this. Not like this. We've seen other teams do it. They tried to duplicate the whole Alex Smith mentor, you know, the Patrick Mahomes deal. But the Camp Pat thing, to me, when you think about last season, and maybe one of the biggest things to happen to the Chiefs, it was that. With all these new receivers that came in to kind of learn who Patrick was, because you have MVS, you know, with Aaron Rodgers, it's going to be different. Big Ben with Juju, it was going to be different. These quarterbacks play how Patrick Mahomes was and the chemistry they built up, because these guys liked each other. They were friends. They played video games together and everything. That, to me, was the biggest moment for the Chiefs last year was Camp Pat.
I couldn't agree more. And we talked about how it could be the precursor for a really special season way back when it was happening. Because that doesn't really happen in the NFL. You don't see guys all getting together because they want to.
Ego, cash, and, you know.
Yeah, like in April and in May. I mean, that's their time that if they want, they don't have to be worried about football until they absolutely have to be here for OTAs or mandatory minicamp. But last year we saw all the guys, they wanted to be together to have a shot at something really special last year. And they achieved it. They won the Super Bowl, and you don't try to fix something that's not broken, right? So amazing stuff from them.
And one of the biggest questions of the draft now is how much do you like football? That is one of the big questions. Like, these guys really, like, really, really love the game of football. So 21 of the last 22 draft picks are still with the Chiefs.
Crazy.
And see, it should be 20 of 22. But I'm throwing in Bo Peep. Or no, I'm not throwing in Cornell Powell, because he was on the practice squad. So that's why it's,
and he's still on the team. I mean, he's currently on the roster. So, yeah.
So if you're in the practice squad, you're still on the roster to me.
And he played in games last year.
Yeah, he did. So you're still getting the game check. So 21 of 22, the only guy not on there is Bo Peep. That's it. This is how you win. When people say, well, Jalen Hurts just got paid. You know, is Joe Burrow going to get paid? Is Justin Herbert? Yeah, but my opinion is, once you pay the quarterback, you got to win. Like, Josh Allen got his money, they still won. Patrick Mahomes got his money, but they won a Super Bowl. Big difference. Because you got to hit on Jalen Watson, you got to hit on Pacheco, you got to do things that are outside of what your football team is. Yeah, good luck, Philadelphia. You just paid Jalen Hurts all that money. Now you got to win because you got to prove you can draft. Because the salary cap does exist. For all the people who didn't think it, it does exist. And you've got to find a way to win with cheap talent, and that's what they've done.
Yeah, it's not easy to do because having Patrick Mahomes, having Travis Kelce, having Coach Reed, that obviously gives you a leg up. You're going to win a lot of games. But in order to win championships, you have to have a complete roster. And it's very difficult to build a complete roster when you don't have a lot of money to throw around because you're giving it to your superstar players. You're 100% right. You have to hit on the draft and not just the early draft picks. It has to be the guys later in the draft, and the Chiefs have done that.
Those are throwaway picks. When you think of seventh round, you think, okay, just throw it there because then the trade value charts are worth like 1 point, which is nothing. But yet the Chiefs had guys getting two interceptions in Jalen Watson in the postseason. You had Pacheco, and those were seventh-round picks. Man.
Leading rusher in the Super Bowl, Isaiah Pacheco. Jalen Watson getting those picks in the postseason.
Weren't throwaways.
And it's not just those guys. If you look at Sky Moore's punt return against the Bengals that set up Harrison Butker's game winner, look at the guys that were blocking on that punt return. It's guys like Jack Cochran, an undrafted free agent rookie out of South Dakota. Nazee Johnson, the final draft pick for the Chiefs last year. Brian Cook, second round pick. Joshua Williams, I think, was in there as well out of Fayetteville State. Just to find these guys and to have them contribute right away and for it not to be too big for them. If you take just a couple of those guys off this roster, the Chiefs don't even make the Super Bowl last year. And to think that in their rookie season, they all contributed and won a championship, it gets you so excited for what are the Chiefs going to do this time around with 10 more picks in this draft.
And the most impressive thing is that when I'm talking about the 21 or 22, that does include a draft that came during the pandemic, which was the hardest time in national football history to draft because there was no combine. You only had conference games with these teams, no non-conference games. So if you put a lot of stock into the college football playoffs, I'm sure, but that was, and medicals were coming in late. Some of them medicals weren't even coming in until the night of the draft. That was the toughest. That's why so many third, fourth, and fifth round picks were cut around the league that year. They just weren't who they thought.
And the relationships that you have with coaches around the league and around the college ranks is what was so important during all of that, because it's not just like the scouting staff doesn't just after the Super Bowl say, all right, let's start building our board. This is something that's built over the course of years. And that's something that stuck with me when I talked to Mike Borgonzi, who's in the Chiefs front office at the Combine last year. They have area scouts that are watching these guys their entire college career. They live in these areas and they know everything about these kids, so that if one of their players is drafted, they know every single thing about them. And not every front office is like that, where they really truly commit to these later rounds. You would think that it would be because it seems obvious, but the first, the second, and third round, that's the important stuff to a lot of teams. To the Chiefs, that's obviously important, but to hit in the sixth and the seventh round, to find these guys and undrafted free agents as well, that's really where they've made their money lately, and it's led to two championships in 4 years.
Yeah, that's probably the thing that really jumps out to me. Like yesterday, I was going through and looking at the draft classes from like past Chiefs starting year 2000. And you look at third day, well, at that point it was second day picks because the draft was only 2 days. And you look at those guys 4 through 7, and like a lot of those names like never really touched the field at all other than special teams. And then you look at the team the last couple years, especially last year, and you've got guys on that roster who were drafted and immediately started playing. Like Pacheco, immediately first game of the season, they led the team in rushing. And when they played the Cardinals, immediately you've got impact players in your secondary there, where Jalen Watson gets the pick six against the Chargers week two, Thursday Night Football. And then obviously what he did in the playoffs. It to me is just amazing how they can be obviously laser focused on the first 2 days, because again, those are your highest value picks. But then third day, in the past, we were kind of trained that, you know, you're just going to take shots in the dark. And you look at the team now, and it's like those picks are almost as important as the first 2 days of the draft. And they've shown that at certain spots, like obviously Canadian Doctor, they hit on that. Trey Smith, they hit on that. And Tyreek Hill hit on that. DeMarcus Robinson hit on that. And you're looking at all these different guys, and they're still able to find contributors at numerous positions of value on the third day. And it's just so weird because not very many teams can do that often.
And I know these teams have scouts everywhere. I think one thing that's helped since 2000 and all that is the amount of teams on TV. Because almost every team has TV contract, or you can watch the games. Where instead, you have to send manpower. When they do, they send manpower out there. But there's also a lot of times you can sit back and watch them on film because all these games are on TV. That's what's different about the past.
And I enjoy what Brett Veach said today about how all the pro days are televised now, too. So you really can never sneak anything by anyone anymore because everyone's committing so much time to this. One of my favorites, though, was Tershawn Wharton from a few years ago. We can't forget about Tershawn because he got hurt last year, but an undrafted free agent from Rolla, Missouri S&T.
It's a hard school to get into, by the way.
Yeah, but just down the road. I mean, to find a guy like that, Mitch and I were watching training camp. It was at the facility because it was during the COVID year, and we had to watch from a distance. But we didn't know much about Tershawn except for his crazy college stats. But we were watching him with the ones, and we're like, do we have somebody here? And obviously, over the last few years, he's been a very good player for this team. So if you can find players in the later rounds and as undrafted free agents, makes a big difference in the end, and we've seen that.
No question about it. Matt McMullen, Chiefs reporter, senior Chiefs reporter here with us here on Character Concerns. Coming up next, though, I want to ask Matt what his favorite position is. Is it tight ends, a wide receiver, offensive line? Like, we all got our favorites. I want to know what yours is next.
You're listening to a 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with Nick, Bank, and Chris. Check out the Character Concerns podcast leading up to the NFL Draft at Union Station. Available at 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, this takes me back to high school. This is a throwback right here.
They're going to be here.
This was, I think it was my sophomore year at Ruskin High School.
They're going to be here Thursday night.
Yeah.
Little Fallout Boy.
Little Fallout.
Yeah, they are.
And Thundercat.
And Thundercat.
And Motley Crue.
And some Motley Crue.
I don't really care about Motley. Fallout Boy. Fallout Boy's throwback. But Thundercat? I think Thundercat's supposed to be there on Saturday. Yeah, you already know. Play some Thundercat later.
Welcome back to Character Concerns Podcast on the radio. We got you covered on draft weekend as well, right here on 610 Sports Radio. The Royals are going to Alt 96.5 on Thursday night. So we have the draft for you there. Friday night, the Royals are in afternoon, so we'll be at the Cinder Block with rounds 2 and 3, yeah, which is
right after
probably
they
my
get
favorite
done.
Night of the draft, to be quite honest with you, is Friday night with rounds 2 and 3, because I think there's some real gems. I think there's going to be a ton of real gems in this year's draft. Joining us also, Matt McMullen from the Kansas City Chiefs. You see him, he's all over KCChiefs.com.
Say his title. Senior team reporter.
Wow. Senior team
reporter. Put some respect on his name.
Not junior
thank
anymore.
Thank you, Chris.
Senior.
Never going to live that down.
I know. I turned 30 a few months ago, so no Did longer you? The
really?
Junior team reporter.
I'd have guessed you were 24.
Over the hill. Yeah. Over
I'd have guessed right? you were 24.
It's all downhill from here.
All right, tight end class. I really like this tight end class.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like it as probably top to bottom. I like it as well as anything, even though I could be talked into a tight end in the first round. Like I can be because I like these guys that much. And I've told you before how much I like Tucker Kraft. I think people are sleeping on this guy. This guy is Dallas Goedert to me. He's only 2 pounds difference between him. He's a second round pick from South Dakota State, as well as Dallas Goedert. But everybody's got their favorite. Going into the offseason was wide receiver for me because I'm just at this point where I'm like, just give Patrick all the weapons. I know he can make water in the wine, but these elite quarterbacks have people. Like Peyton Manning had Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne and, you know, Marino, Duper, and Clayton. I mean, they're great quarterbacks. They make everybody look good. Like Brendan Stokely once got 1,000 yards for the Colts. They're one of, five teams in NFL history to have three receivers over 1,000 yards, and Brendan Stokely was one of those guys with the Indianapolis Colts. What's your favorite position group, man?
Can I give you two? Is that cheating?
No.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
You can break the rules. It's one of those
you can break the rules. We break the rules all the time.
And it actually lines up with where I think the Chiefs could add. I'm going to go wide receiver and edge, which is great news if you're a Chiefs fan. The reason I say that is because I think if you look at it from a national perspective, a lot of people will say that this is a weak wide receiver draft. That might be the case if you're drafting like 6 overall. But I think for where the Chiefs are, where you're picking at the end of every single round, you don't have a ton of picks in the top 100. The way the depth of this class works out at receiver and edge, I think really plays into our favor, where there's going to be a really good player at one of those two spots available at 31. That's just a fact. If they want to trade up, they can into the 20s if someone's there that they really like. But even if they stand pat at 31, there's going to be a really good player there. So some of my favorite receivers, some of the guys that could be first-round options, Jalin Hyatt for obvious reasons. I mean, all the things he did as a deep threat last year for Tennessee, led the FBS in receptions of 30 or more yards with 15 of them, also led the FBS in receptions of 40 or more yards, 50 or more yards, and 60 or more yards, had 15 touchdowns last year. Not a full route tree at Tennessee and wasn't really challenged at the line much, but he's the kind of player that you could plug in on day one and it could make a difference, I think. Quentin Johnston, also for obvious reasons. The Chiefs have not had a receiver with that size and explosion combination in a long time.
And we've seen him go, he's been here for top 30 visit. We've seen him go from the first wide receiver taken to maybe not even first rounder.
Crazy.
The funny thing to me is they haven't played, man. And people taking him off their list are people sitting at home in the computers in their mom's basement who didn't time him, never seen him play, didn't go to their games, didn't go to their combine, haven't sat there, and they fall, and it drives me crazy.
I'm happy you said Quentin Johnston's name right because he's been saying it wrong. The whole time
we've
been
name wrong.
It's Jackson Smith and Jigba. He says his name wrong. He just ruins everyone. I'm glad
I'm
you said it
roll.
Right.
I'm
man.
On a roll.
Well, I've been working on, you know, Felix Anudike Uzama.
Yeah, I've been working on that one too. That's a tough
I
one.
I actually know that one.
Adetamiwa
so.
Adebare.
Yeah.
It's all these guys with these names.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
But sticking with the receivers, I'll get to the edge guys in a moment. Those first run options, they all make sense. They could help the Chiefs on day one. But there's also some guys that could be available on day two, like Rashee Rice, who I like a lot. He's 6'1", 204 pounds, probably a second or third round pick. Tremendous body control is what really stands out about him. Can contort his body and go up and get the football. 16 contested catches last season, 19 broken tackles. A real physical possession receiver, which the Chiefs could use. And also Jonathan Mingo, who we were talking about when I first walked
my
in.
My guy.
Off air.
Bing's guy.
We mocked him. The character concerns.
You mocked him. But
well,
yeah, you know, I was part
of
it.
We?
Yeah.
We all agree.
Yeah. I was a part of it, yeah.
Mitch Holtis and I were doing our podcast, which you can find on the Chiefs YouTube page. It's called Defending the Kingdom. And we do all this kind of stuff all the time. He was busy and we were going to do a wide receiver episode. And he's like, find a few guys you'd like me to watch and think maybe kind of the Juju Smith-Schuster mold. And I was like, all right. So I start looking at all these guys and I find Mingo. I'm like, we found him. This is the guy. I mean, he's 6'2", 220 pounds, ran a 4.46 40-yard dash. Great size-speed combination there. He can make physical catches underneath, but also can make the catches down the sideline. He's put in motion a lot at Ole Miss. He can run routes out of the backfield. Really just kind of fits that mold of what Juju did so well for Kansas City. Of course, I told Mitch this. Then the next day, everyone knew about Jonathan Mingo from their own analysis. But he could make a lot of sense in the second or third round
as well. I think it was Todd McShay had him in the second round to the Chiefs at that point. Some have had the first round. Jim Nagy runs the Senior Bowl. Probably one of the better talent evaluators out there as far as he puts the Senior Bowl together. So, you know, this is what he had to say about Ole Miss Jonathan Mingo back in March 31st. Says one hot name emerging right now in league's coaching circles is Ole Miss Jonathan Mingo. Wide receiver coaches have him graded higher than many mocked in round one. 220-pound men aren't supposed to have these feet. So Jonathan Mingo's already starting to get some love nationally with different people. And I love it because Peter Schrager, who was the fifth, I mean, this is really geeky here, but he was the fifth ranked mocker last year, has him going to the Saints at 29. But I like him because I've told you, Lance Zierlein said Anquan Boldin. And then, but you got to talk about A.J. Brown. When that's guys are overlooked, Ole Miss wide receivers that win the second round are overlooked. A.J. Brown and DK Metcalf are first round picks. They just are. And the Chiefs don't have that big physical presence. And not only that, but he can run 4.46. He can do the even jet motion stuff that you want in the slot. You don't have to worry about, you know, inside linebackers hitting him or anybody else because Jonathan Mingo is a big dude. I think it's perfect because the guy can stretch the field. He can get downfield. He can get better and better as things go. I just think he's a perfect fit for what the Chiefs are looking for because they don't have that guy. They've got other guys, you know, the 5'9", 5'10", speedsters. They've got that. But they don't have the Jonathan Mingo type, and I think that's what's so alluring. And you mentioned Rashee Rice, a big guy. I'm thinking, you know, wide receivers 5 through 8 might be better than 1 through 4.
That's where the depth of this class really benefits.
And Cedric Tillman, I should bring Gallant too.
Yeah, Cedric Tillman, if he hadn't gotten hurt, might be the guy we're talking about in round one instead of Jalen Hyatt, which is the crazy thing. Not to get off track, but talking about Jonathan Mingo and DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown and all these guys from Ole Miss, how is Ole Miss not winning more football games?
It's a great question.
Just churn these guys out. Dawson Knox went to Ole Miss.
Isn't Lane Kiffin their head coach?
Lane Kiffin.
That's why.
But he was on a really good run last year until things kind of
until you know they started playing like a Lane Kiffin team, right? This is what they do. They're fun. They're fun, but like you know how he does. He recruits really well as far as like getting good talent to the NFL. Generally doesn't have a whole team that's going to put it together to go and compete for a championship.
It's the SEC, though, and, you know, the Chiefs really like SEC guys.
Yeah, I mean, I
understand why.
I don't blame them. It's like basically the AAA for the NFL is the SEC, so I don't blame them.
I can see why they do it. But anyway, tell them that big. Do you think the Chiefs, Andy Reid will take anybody and make them good. Like, he could take anybody and make them good. But I always bring this up, that a couple years ago when the Chiefs played the Patriots in the regular season, Stephon Gilmore was coming straight off a defensive player of the year. And guess who guarded Sammy Watkins the whole game? Like, he wasn't on Tyreek Hill.
Well, because he couldn't cover Tyreek.
He was on Sammy Watkins, and he even got into it. Well, but at this point, Stephon Gilmore's at the top of his game at this point.
Yeah.
He and Sammy got into it on the sideline. Sammy threw him down. But that just shows you they've, you know, and how much they wanted Juju, they've coveted that size. Maybe it's not prototypical to what they are, but they do enjoy that size.
And even Byron Pringle, when he was here, was kind of more that kind of player, a more physical possession kind of player who can make those tough physical catches underneath. The Chiefs could use that, and they could find that in this draft if they want to.
What do you think is more likely? Do they, like, let's say they wanted to target a guy like Mingo or Cedric Tillman or guys of that ilk. Do you think it's more likely they trade up in the second round to take them, or do you think that they're going to take them late first?
It's a great question. I think it depends. I think it gets back to what they think about their offensive tackle situation. Because if a guy like Darnell Wright is available late in the first round or Anton Harrison, and they want to pounce on a guy like that, that could change their plans for later on, in my opinion, because I think the wide receiver and edge depth is pretty deep in the middle of the second round and even maybe into the third round. If those tackles are gone, I think it makes a lot of sense to go with whoever the best player available is, in my opinion, that receiver or at edge, and there's going to be options there. And then maybe what position you don't take in the first round, you could always take in the second. I really do think the strength of this draft, though, is from pick like 15 to 60. And if you can make multiple picks in that area, if you're able to do that by trading up, I don't know what Brett Veach will do, but you could find some pretty good players.
I like that too, because not every team has first round grades on everybody. 12 to 20 guys, they say, okay, first round grade. So then it's kind of, you know, the Wild Wild West.
Because no one knows after like pick 15.
Yeah, and then it just this becomes crazy. What where's there going to be a run? Maybe there's a tight end run, maybe wide receiver run. We don't know what kind of run, and this can happen any position really. When they get on a run, teams panic and they say, "Well, we need to get this guy." Coming up next, though, Maverick Mullins in here with us. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about offensive line. If it's sitting there like a Darnell Wright or an Anton Harrison, what do the Chiefs do next?
You're listening to a 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with Nick, Bank, and Chris. Check out the Character Concerns podcast leading up to the NFL Draft at Union Station. Available at 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Does matter.
And the funny thing for all the Tennessee players is they had like the game of their life against Alabama. Like Jalen Hyatt, didn't he have like five touchdowns against
four.
Alabama?
I think he had five. Four.
No, was it five?
I thought it was four. Yeah, he had a monster game, and he was just burning literally just single-man coverage every time. Got past him. Touchdown.
Did you get Brian Branch out there and everything else?
Yeah, Branch was out there, though. They weren't running Branch over at the top like they should have been. After the first couple touchdowns, you'd think they'd do that.
Another guy, though, who intrigues me at offensive tackle, who has been kind of slipping lately, it seems like, is DeJuan Jones from Ohio State.
Yeah.
The largest human I've ever seen. At 6'8", 374 pounds. He's 40 pounds heavier than Orlando Brown.
Yeah.
Think about that.
He's got a crazy arm length, too.
It broke the Senior Bowl record. 7'6", our wingspan.
Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable. I mean, now, obviously, when you're that big, it's going to be difficult against like the Von Millers of the world. But DeJuan Jones is a player that if he was there in the second round, you could probably put him at right tackle. And when you're that large, and I mean, he can move for a player of his size, he can make some sense too.
The thing is, when you look at right tackles, they got to be just as good as your left tackle, man. When you think about Mitch Schwartz and how good he was, because it's not like other teams are saying, well, you know, we're going to put our best pass rusher on their left tackle because that's our best offensive lineman. No, they want mismatches. They want mismatches in the NFL, and guys are flipping sides all the time who they're getting. So your right tackle almost has to be just as good as your left tackle because essentially it's not like teams are just sitting there going, well, we want to be fair here. They're not going to do that. They want mismatches.
And it seems like every team has like two or three guys who are really good off the edge, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Especially in our division. Like you look at Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack on the Chargers, Chandler Jones, Max Crosby on the Raiders, goes on and on. So yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. You need as many good tackles as you possibly can, especially over the course of a long season.
And especially now that so many teams are moving their pass rushers around so much and doing a lot of stunts there, like there's a lot of times where like you're seeing guys like Chris Jones go out there and line up on the edge, and you know that's a lot of times going to be a mismatch with his level of strength.
Spags loves that, man.
Yeah, he loves that, and he does it. He did it. He obviously did it in the AFC Championship game, the final snap the Bengals took on offense. Chris Jones lined up against the right tackle and just killed him on that rep.
Because you want the lineman when they break huddle going, where's Jones?
Exactly, exactly. And so when you get teams out here who are moving guys around, doing these rotations or whatnot, you kind of want a guy you can trust that's going to be able to do well in different matchups against different kinds of pass rushers. Because some guys are going to be more speed-oriented, some guys are going to be more power-oriented. And so if you're not able to handle a certain kind of matchup, it's going to be a problem for you.
It's one of the things I always thought with Andy Reid. There's a couple of positions. We'll get into it later. But backup quarterback, if you played in the NFL, I think that carries a lot of weight. And also left tackle. And that's what I've always felt with the Chiefs. Like, it's one thing for rookie, but maybe not yet. Because you want that experience for the blind side of a half-billion-dollar quarterback. You just do. So I always, and with Juwan Taylor, when they say, well, we can move over to left side, that's fine. Because I do believe that Andy Reid does value veteran leadership on that side of the ball.
And the experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the fact that you've been around, you know what it's like to be in the NFL, you've played NFL games. Very difficult to take a guy as a left tackle in the draft and as a rookie, put him there at left tackle. I don't care.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Fantasy freaks and geeks. What's cracking? It's your boy, James Coe, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it. Okay, there's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.